Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
That you've gone to demonstrate your affection towards us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that in Him we have forgiveness of our sins and we have peace with you for eternity. And Lord, we are amazed that in front of us is reward that boggles our minds. And so God, we exalt you today. And as we gather, we ask that you'd speak to us, Lord. We've come from different parts of the New River Valley and different parts of the state. We've come together to exalt you, to worship you. But as we're together, Father, we are your church. And we're thankful to get to be your body. So we ask that you speak to us this morning, encourage us, convict us, Lord, that you would find our hearts open to you, receptive, humble. We want to be your people so that we might bless this world, so that we might declare to the world the gospel and the goodness and the forgiveness that you have given to us, to all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's great to see you on a rainy January morning. I am just a tad bitter that it is rain outside and it is not snow. Because if it was just a few degrees cooler, you know that we would be buried today. And that is like my ideal winter day, is just to have a good 6 to 8 inch snow that forces you to stay inside. And I know I talked about it last week, but I just can't get over the fact that we've not had any snow yet. So anyway, we are glad that you're here on this rainy Sunday morning. And this is one of my favorite Sundays of our year. It is our State of the Church Sunday. It is an opportunity for us to look back at what God has done in this faith family over the past year. And it's also our opportunity to look ahead and embrace some of the calling that God has given to us as a church. And for those of you who are members, this is an ideal time to remind ourselves that being the church, when we say don't go to church, be the church, it reminds us of what we mean by that. And for those of you who are guests here or who have been attending regularly, I really can't think of a better Sunday for you to be present and to hear what makes us tick, what is the heartbeat of this church family. And also for you to hear a little bit of our story about how God has demonstrated himself faithfully to this congregation over the years in such a way that it's really amazing to consider, and it's very humbling to be a part of this faith family. So last year, I stood here at our State of the Church Sunday in January 2022, and we had three distinctives. And so our distinctives last year were walk daily, build up, and seek first. And what we meant by that is that it is critical for every follower of Jesus Christ to walk in a daily love relationship with Jesus. And I wish that we could put something in the donuts and in the coffee that when you drink it, you go home and you're like, I can't wait to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. But we can't do that. This is something that is your own initiative. It's required of you to be able to do that. But walk daily with Christ is something that we as a church family understand is our privilege, and it's also our responsibility to walk in intimacy and humility before God on a daily basis, and then to build up His kingdom. It's like we understand that God has given each of us spiritual gifts, and that He expects every believer in Christ to use those spiritual gifts for the building up of His church, to serve one another, to advance the gospel in our community, in our state, and in our world. And then we also shared with one another last year, the importance of seeking first. We get that from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus was speaking in the context of worry. And he says, don't worry about all of these things that we typically worry about in life. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so we began 2022 with these three distinctives: walk daily, build up, and seek first. And then in 2022, we encouraged one another that we wanted to be a church that was constantly making disciples, that we wanted to be a church invested in discipleship, that we wanted to grow in our relationships with Jesus Christ. And we wanted to be praying disciples. We wanted to be a church that prays together. We wanted to be a church that sends each other out. And over this past year, we've sent out many different people, many different places. And what a great indication of that, even this morning, to get to pray over our team that will be leaving tomorrow for the DR. We want to be a church that sends people out. So we want to be making disciples who are praying disciples and are sending disciples. And then last year, we focused on Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Our impetus was that we wanted to know Jesus, that the bedrock of our church, each member of our church, we wanted to have a confident, joyful, humble relationship with Jesus Christ, to know Christ. Paul wrote, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So as we look back at 2022, State of the Church Sunday is an opportunity for us to assess some of the ways that God moved in our church family. So I'm going to be sharing with you just a few metrics and a few indications of how God seems to be moving and how God seems to be blessing. So our small groups, Matt talked about our small groups have just launched last week. And so if you're not in a small group yet, we encourage you to find a small group to participate in. Now, I know some of you who are involved in campus ministries, your campus ministry offers small groups, so we don't think it's wise for you to try to do both. So we encourage you to bloom where you're planted, be there on the campus. But if you're not involved in one, you can walk by the wall on your way out. You can pick out a brochure or you can visit our website. Small groups are where the life of North Star happens. It's where we're mobilized to care for one another, to pray with one another, to study Scripture together, to allow what we proclaim about being the church, to allow it to mean something when we are together in small groups, individually seeking after Jesus together. And so last year, as we sit here in January, we had 14 groups. There's about 270 people involved in those groups, and you can read the rest of these numbers. Is that God is doing a great work in our church family. You look at the congregation this morning, and then you think about there's almost 300 people gathered in homes and gathered here in the building and gathered across the New River Valley every single week seeking to be the church together, growing in Christ together. And so we are thankful for what God is doing. And then also last year, we have a discipleship material that we call the Discipleship Initiative. For us, it's our foundation. It's our entry level that we encourage every single member and those of you who are regular to participate in. It's about 6 to 8 weeks. You'll meet in a group of three or four people, but it teaches you four foundational principles of intimacy with God, humility before God, obedience with God, and then how God will bring influence in your life. But last year, we had 38 people participate in the Discipleship Initiative, 14 leaders, and that's 18 different groups. And on any given Sunday morning, especially at the 9 o'clock service, about 20 yards that direction is our children's ministry. And it is blowing and going these days. It is an exciting place to be. So last year, there were 159 kids in our kids camp, which is kind of our version of VBS in the summer. We're already making plans for this year. We're really excited about that. There are 344 different kids who participated in children's ministry last year at North Star. What an exciting thing to be able to say that we are influencing that many children in a given year. And this past December, we saw the highest that we'd seen in our kids' ministry, had 101 kids on December the 11th. And that requires 24 volunteers per service to do that when we offer it, if we offered it another service. So you're going to be hearing this year that part of our vision, now that Julie has two of her offices back, because we just moved out of some of the kids' rooms into our new office building a week ago Friday. So she has two more rooms to be able to use, but you'll be hearing about the vision that we would like to this year begin offering children's ministry at both services. That is an amazing opportunity for some of you who've been looking for a place to get involved and to think about the joy and the privilege and the excitement of being able to tell children that Jesus loves them and has given his life for them, and that they can discover an eternal love relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting than seeing a child get that they are unconditionally loved by the God who made them. And so if that's something that kind of perks your heart up or gets your interest up, you'll be hearing more about that this year as we launch a vision to recruit more to help us serve at another opportunity for children's ministry. And then our youth group this past year really did see amazing growth. There's about 60 different youth that are meeting weekly here in the building on Wednesday nights. They have 14, and I wrote down there very dedicated youth leaders. Because if you've ever been in the building when the youth are here, they're very dedicated to be with those kids. And it is amazing what God is doing in our youth ministry. It is alive, it is active, it's exciting. There's 9 different small groups that after their large group session, they'll break into small groups and they'll unpack what they've heard. And that's where they care for one another, pray for one another, and where they be able to put feet to their faith. Also this past year, our attendance was off the charts in comparison to previous years. We were stunned by how many people came through our church family last year. If you were here for Easter last year, we were stunned. We had to do 3 different services, and God brought over 1,000 people to worship with us last Easter. We are excited and we're making preparations now for this Easter. And what we would love, if any of you are interested in serving on a team to help us decorate, to plan the logistics, and to serve in hospitality, welcoming those who will come this Easter, please let me know and we will get you on that Easter team. But we are already excited about the opportunity to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And we know that people who typically don't come to church are spiritually interested at a couple of different times a year. That's Easter and Christmas. And so we're already preparing for what God will be doing this year. Now, one of the things behind the scenes that was happening this year is that through small groups, through discipleship initiative, and even through relationships, people were making decisions for Jesus Christ. So we got to baptize more people last year than we've ever baptized in the history of North Star in any given year. And we were thrilled that 33 different people made a public profession of their faith in Christ through believers' baptism. Now, if you are here, we know we're already having a conversation with a few of you who are ready to be baptized now. But if you're here today and baptism is your next step of obedience to profess your faith in Christ Jesus publicly, you've made a decision for him, but you've never been baptized by immersion, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to talk with you and walk through with you what that means and what that looks like. Now, one metric of a church that always makes people uncomfortable, but it's a great metric to look at as far as the health of the church and the commitment of its members, is its giving. Is how has North Star been doing as a church that's been giving? How has God blessed you as a church family to provide for our church? And so you can see the graph up there is that our 2022 giving, by and large, was far and above ahead of where we've ever been as a church family before. And we are incredibly thankful for that. because that means that you have been responding in obedience and generosity. Scripture says that our God is a giving God, and when you give, it means that you're reflecting the heart of God. John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. He gave the most valuable thing for us, and that is his son for our salvation. When we give, when we're generous, it reflects the very heart of our Creator. But to give you an idea and context of what our giving has looked like, we began 2022 conservatively. We had just moved into this building in April of 21. And so we'd never been through an entire year. So we had a pretty conservative budget for us of $654,000. By June, you guys had exceeded our needs for six straight months. And so our stewardship team met and celebrated, and they adjusted our budget mid-year to $668,000 because many of our ministries needed more resources. We were having more kids. We had more college students. We had more youth, more of a lot of you. And so they blessed us with a little bit more money to serve you with and to build the kingdom of God with. But by the end of the year, what you guys did through God's generosity through you was incredible. We received $847,000 last year through your giving and how God provided through you. Now, in context, as we're looking ahead and looking at 2023, as a reminder, 2022's budget was $654,000. Our stewardship team has set a budget for us that is ambitious and is growth-centered of $811,000 for 2023, recognizing that we have more people to serve and more people to minister with. But in context, when we look at this $811,000 number, we're also remembering in humility and in gratitude what God did through you last year. Last year you gave $847,000, which seems hopeful to indicate that if we're simply obedient in a consistent way, the way we have been, that God is going to continue to provide for this church financially. And what an amazing job God has done. It is to him all the glory for your generosity and how he's worked through you. Now, if you're new, you may not know the North Star story. And when you walk into this facility, you may say, this is really nice. But we've only been here since April of 21. This is new to us too. We met for 18 years in Blacksburg Middle School, setting up, tearing down 52 Sundays a year. And so when we moved into this facility, we were so deeply grateful. We did that over many, many, many years of planning through our building campaign called Immeasurably More. Now we are still in a campaign. We call it Immeasurably More 7. And the campaign and the vision is that we want to pay off our building debt in 7 years. So this is what that looks like. We began making mortgage payments at the beginning of 21. And the balance of 22, the balance in December of 21 of that note was $3.4 million. That's what we owed. So last year, we were faithful to make mortgage payments of $17,000 a month, which totaled $205,000. We made those mortgage payments. We made those payments because you gave to the Immeasurably More Fund. That's a different fund than our offering. You gave that money to that fund, and what you gave enabled us to make those mortgage payments. But God did more through you than just that. You gave more to that fund, and so we were able to make $109,000 of additional payments to principal last year, which means that we paid in $315,000 instead of just $205,000, which our balance at the end of last year was $3.3 million. which means that we reduced our total note by $148,000. Our overall balance is $3.3 million. So why is the vision for paying this off in 7 years important to North Star? We feel like it's important for stewardship purposes. Our stewardship team has this incredible vision that if we pay this building off in 7 years, it will save the church and save us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why? How will it do that? Well, let's look at the math for a moment. We paid in $315,000, but we only reduced our balance by $149,000. Why is that? What's the answer? Interest, right? So if we pay off this note sooner, we will literally save the church hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 20-year mortgage. And so that is our vision. So if you're a church member and you're new to the scene, if you'll go to don'tgo.b/7, you're able to make a commitment to helping us with the 7 campaign and with this vision. It helps you understand who we are as a church because we don't want to be paying interest. We want to be using that money for ministry. And that's the ultimate vision. So as we look towards 2023, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. And I want you to hold your place there. And when you look at it, you're going to think to yourself, what? Is this the right verse? Hang on for just a moment. A week from Friday, we moved into our new office building. For those of you who are new to the scene, we finished construction and moved into this building in April of 21. But we saved money by separating the office building from this facility, and we agreed to build it out later when we had the monies for that. So the office building was just finished in December, and our staff got to move in a week ago Friday. The good news for that is that we paid for that building in cash. There was no more loans taken out for it. That building is completely paid off, and it is paid for. And so that is a huge answer to prayer. Now, as soon as we got the certificate of occupancy, I started moving stuff into my office. And so I got all moved in. I got all set up, got my desk in there, sitting there in my office. And so on Monday, when the staff came in and began setting up their offices, I was already ready to roll. I can't tell you what it was like this past Monday coming to the office and sitting in there at my desk in a new office for the very first time. And I sat there, and you guys, some of you know I'm kind of a weirdo about candles, but I lit my Woodwick candle because I like how it talks back to me. And I opened my Bible, and I had my very first quiet time there in my office. And I would be lying if I didn't admit that I got extremely emotional. Thinking about that moment was a moment that said, this project is complete. The original building campaign, the original building vision that North Star had 12 years ago, as I sat there, I took a deep breath and said, we're here, it's complete. And I sat there and I looked out of my windows at this beautiful view of a dumpster over there on the back of the parking lot, but beyond the dumpster, homes and townhomes being built all around this church. That when we identified this 10-acre spot of land about 8 to 9 years ago, we were the only show in the game at the time. We had no idea a developer would come in and buy all the land around us, that another developer would come in and buy the land across the street from us, and there would be 1,000 units going in between the land across the street and the land around us. Had no idea. Sometimes people will ask us, well, did you plan that? In April of 21, your very first Sunday in this building was Easter Sunday. Did you plan that? And tongue-in-cheek, we always like to say, oh, yeah, we absolutely, we did that completely on purpose. Now, it seems along the way that for this congregation, God has always poured out abundant favor and friendly God nods, if you would. On the morning that we had a dedication service on this land before there was ever any earth moving on it, we put up a tent. We had a worship service out here. That morning was an overcast, rainy morning. Do you know what happened that morning? There was a rainbow in the New River Valley. And we have pictures of it, and they're not Photoshopped, but you know where one end of that rainbow hit? This land. It was a stunning reminder to us that in Genesis, a rainbow in the sky is a sign of God's promise. God's promise. And so we feel like God has poured out favor time and time and time again on this church family, and it's incredibly humbling. But now that we're here, we have to ask ourselves, what are we here for? Is it a time to say, okay, now that everything is here, now we can just invite people to church, we can invite people to our small group, and we can just expect them to come to us? Or are we here for God? And are we here for people who aren't here yet? In other words, it'd be very tempting for us to be building-centric, for all of the activity of the church, for this to become like a ministry center, and that we get comfortable and say, this is the church building. Everything happens here. And that would really wreck our ultimate vision, which is don't just, what? Go to church, but what? Be the church. See, our mission now is even more significant than it's ever been, with the project fully complete, is to remind ourselves who we are as the people of God. We are His church. And it is glorious to be the church gathered, right? It's exciting to see people coming together. It's exciting to see one another every week for worship and singing and instruction. And even to see each other in small groups. But where Jesus Christ is most fully glorified is in your individual lives as you walk daily in an intimate love relationship with Jesus out there. When you are the church scattered. When you're the church of Jesus. So 2 Timothy 4:9 says this, make every effort to come to me soon. And you're like, what? Well, that's going to be one of the easiest memory verses you ever have. Paul writes to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. He valued Timothy's partnership in the gospel. He valued Timothy's maturity in the gospel. Timothy was a great skilled teacher and ministry assistant for Paul. And he said, make every effort to come to me soon. The reason this jumped out at me is that there's this Greek word that's translated as make every effort. It's spoudazo. Spoudazo. And it means to hasten, to make haste, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. In other words, Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, Timothy, hurry up. Be diligent. Make every effort. Try as hard as you can to come to me as quickly as you can. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, he's going to write again. And he's going to say, make every effort. Spoudazo. To come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. It makes sense. Hurry up, make haste, be diligent, make every effort to come before winter. And we see the practicality of making every effort. In Titus chapter 3, verse 12, again, Paul's writing. He says, he's writing to Titus, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis because I've decided to spend the winter there." Make every effort. Make haste. Be diligent. Try hard. Those are practical instructions, but Paul also uses this same word, or Peter uses this same word in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Peter says, "For this reason, make every effort, spidazo, to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul would write, "Spoudazo, come see me. I need the help. Be as diligent as you possibly can. Try your very hardest." And then the same word Peter is going to use in relationship to our inner pursuit of our love relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter's going to write to believers, and he's going to say, "Make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control." So here's what we pick up from this. If we're going to be the church in 2023 well, I and each one of us as members of this church family must make every effort to grow in our individual love relationships with Jesus. Spiritual maturity is non-negotiable as a member of this church. It doesn't mean you have to be there. It just means you have to be going there. Because we don't want to be, as Peter says, we don't want to be useless or unfruitful for the kingdom. And so we would ask our members at State of the Church Sunday, "Are you ready this year to make every effort to pursue an intimate love relationship with Jesus daily?" That's how we seek to be His church. Make every effort. See, we're not going to ooze into spiritual maturity. It's not like if you choose to do nothing to grow in your faith, at the end of the year, you won't have grown in your faith. You make every effort. You participate in the life of small groups. You intentionally pursue discipleship. You read God's word regularly. You cooperate with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. And so Peter would write again just a couple of verses later in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble." And again in verse 15 of chapter 1, Peter writes, "And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure." If you read the context of what Peter is saying here, he's basically saying, "I sense the Lord telling me my life is almost over." And Peter would be martyred. So he's writing to Christians and he's saying, "I sense God saying my time is near." But he includes this promise. He says, "I promise that I'm making every effort right now to make sure that you can remember the teaching and the content of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Peter was doing everything he could so that believers around him would know who they could depend on in his absence. It was Jesus. He's always pointing people to Jesus. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, the last letter that we have on record from him, he says, "Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight. Spudazzo. Make every effort to walk daily before God. Now, there's another word in Scripture that's, when you read, it's translated as make every effort. It's a different Greek word, and it's more intense. It indicates strenuous effort. And it's the word agonizomai. And this word is uttered by our Savior Jesus Christ. Agonizomai means to enter a contest, to contend in the gymnastic games, to contend with adversaries as in a fight. It's a metaphor for struggling with difficulties and dangers, and it's to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive, to obtain something. And we see this word translated as make every effort in Luke, out of Jesus' mouth. Luke 13, verse 24, Jesus says agonizomai, but it's translated like this: make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Jesus is speaking to people who are just beginning to trust him, but other people who are still wondering if Jesus is the real deal. And he's essentially saying, guys, deciding what you think about Jesus is not a luxury. It's an urgency. None of us are promised tomorrow. And so Jesus himself would say, agonizomai, or make every effort to fight, to struggle, to last through the contest, but enter through the narrow door. And Jesus said he was the door, that he was the gate, that it is only through faith in Christ Jesus that any of us might have eternal life. And so Jesus would say to make every effort to enter into a love relationship with him. So as we look at 2023 being the church, this year means make every effort. We're not going to rely upon a building. We're not going to rely upon a project that is complete, but we're going to rely upon who we've been as a church from the very beginning, and that is the people of God. And we have a great Savior, and we want to joyfully and boldly and humbly declare the gospel of God to the New River Valley and to our world. It's going to require us to make every effort in our own lives and also in our lives as a church. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, how do I get involved? There are all kinds of ways to get involved. And you'll see this slide up there that has all these different ministry opportunities and options. But the only thing you really need to pay attention to is don'tgo.be/serve. If you're like, yes, this church, I want to serve. I want to find a way to help. I can at least help with donuts on Sunday morning. Or I would love to serve in the children's ministry or whatever it may be. If you're looking for a way to make every effort this year, go to don'tgo.be/serve. And some of you who are here, you've been attending for a while. And you may now go, now that I hear more about the heartbeat and the DNA of this church, these are the people of God I want to do life and ministry with here. Next Sunday, we have a Discovering North Star class. It is our membership class, and it'll happen at 10:30 in the morning. So it'll happen after the first service. So if you want to come, I'd encourage you to come to the first service and then go to that. But you can RSVP at don'tgo.be/membership. And there's a link there that you click on to RSVP. But it doesn't commit you to be a member, but it's at that class and at that group that you'll learn who we are as a church, how we function, what our vision is, and what you can do as a member of this church to advance being the church in the New River Valley. Make every effort. But this morning, as we wrap up, we get to celebrate the effort that Jesus has made for us. You see, it's not based on our efforts, it's based on what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. And in a moment, we're going to celebrate communion together. And what an amazing opportunity. This is the first Sunday that we've celebrated communion in 2023. You're here for it. We've had State of the Church, and now we get to remind ourselves afresh that Jesus gave himself for us, and he is the head of the church. So let me pray for us, and as I pray, our worship team will come, and those who are serving us will also come, and I'll give you some instructions about receiving the Lord's Supper after we pray. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we are so humbled as a church family by all that you have done for this body of believers. We exalt you. We are humbled, and we are grateful. Father, we ask this morning that you would renew our hearts and you would help us depend upon your strength and your energy, and Lord, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to walk in a daily, joyful love relationship with you that is just full of gratitude for what you've done for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those who are here today who don't yet have a relationship with you. We pray that they'll have the courage to talk to a Christian friend or a family member about what it means to become a Christian and to follow you for the first time. And we pray for that as a church that we'll keep our eyes on you this year. Lord, that we'll use this building and this facility and this location and the New River Valley only as a tool in our tool belt and not as some kind of destination. Lord, we love you so much, and we are delighted to get to be your body, the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.